From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, while Congress is out this week and next, there is still a lot going on both in Washington and around the nation. The crisis on the border is intensifying, leading one city in Arizona unable to handle the influx of illegal immigrants to declare a state of emergency. We'll talk with Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lasko of the 8th Congressional District in just a moment. Also, we'll check in with California Congressman Duncan Hunter, who is on the border today, taking a look at the growing crisis. And will the media and big tech companies continue to align with the Southern Poverty Law Center despite the recent revelations of blatant hypocrisy by an organization rife with bigotry and racism? Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media is on the SPLC beat, and he joins me. And while Nancy Pelosi refuses to allow a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, states are stepping in and passing their own versions, North Carolina Assembly being the latest. The question now is, will Democratic Governor Roy Cooper sign it? We'll talk with North Carolina State Senator Joyce Krolvik a little bit later in the program. And my plan will be to take your phone calls later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right. We're going to first check in with Congressman Duncan Hunter from California, who heads up the Border Security Caucus. And he's down on the border. And then we're going to check in with Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lasko in a bit. Let's go to Duncan Hunter. Congressman Hunter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony. Good to be with you.
I understand you're on the border today. I saw some of the statements you released earlier. We've had one Arizona city declare a state of emergency because they're being just overrun with those being released by the Border Patrol into their communities. How bad is the situation?
It's extremely bad. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a mayor declaring a state of emergency. This isn't politics. I don't think he's aligned himself with Trump. He's not trying to do anything for Trump. You have illegal aliens in a town like Yuma. Yuma's not a wealthy town. It's a border town. It's a desert town. There's some agriculture here. A lot of Californians come over here because the taxes are much lower. But there's no big industry here. They can't support the literally tens of thousands of illegal immigrants that are coming in monthly in just this little area, let alone the Border Patrol and the DEA trying to stop the drugs and the guns and the criminals that don't cross at the points of entry, but cross in the no man's land throughout the desert. And there was something, I've lived in San Diego my entire life. It's about 3 hours from here. I saw something today that reminded me more of Afghanistan than anywhere in this country. It's so bad here, the Border Patrol has forward operating bases like we had in theater in Iraq and Afghanistan. We actually flew in a DEA helicopter today out to one of those, me and about seven other members of Congress. But you have Border Patrol going where they stay in these forward operating bases for 2 weeks at a time. Then they rotate back in. It's almost a short-term military tour for them. That's how bad it is here. And even me being so close to here, I didn't really grasp just how big of an area that with no border wall. So there's no way to funnel the illegal immigrants and the criminals. It's just a wide open space with no fence at all in some places, a 3 foot high barricade in other places, but no real fencing like we have in San Diego. It's a spectacular failure of a way to secure a border.
So Duncan, what is driving this increase in those coming to our border illegally and crossing?
Well, number one, the countries that they come from, and I'll tell you what I think it is. I think social media and the internet has a lot to do with it. I think 10 years ago, people didn't know the legal words to say to get asylum. They didn't know America's laws. Now all these illegal immigrants know what our laws allow them to do. So they know what to say when they come to the border and they meet a border patrolman. They know the words to say that trigger them being allowed into the country. And if you look at what President Trump and his administration have tried to do and how many times and the different ways they've been stopped by the liberal courts, That's I think, the main driver of this. Yeah, you got to have a border wall because you got really bad guys bringing in bad stuff. And that's from cocaine, heroin, everything that they bring in. But these families are coming to the points of entry. And as long as the federal courts don't allow us to stop people at the border, there is no fixing this once they come into the United States. We're not going to build detention facilities that can hold millions of people. That's not going to happen. There's no one to man them. There's no way to really build those. And you're going to have them indefinitely because you're not going to have a stop of people coming across. The only answer for this, the only answer, is to stop people at the border in Mexico and make it what it really is. It's a Mexican problem. They're the ones allowing the people to transit throughout their nation into the United States. They're helping them. They provide them food and water, legal advice, and maps. This is a Mexican problem, and it shouldn't even reach into the U.S. There's, as you know, there's plenty of people in our country who are hurting and who need help. You shouldn't be giving American taxpayer dollars to illegal immigrants that break the law by coming here in the first place.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Duncan Hunter of California on the border today in Arizona. Congressman, one final question for you, and I'm going to go to one of your colleagues, Debbie Lesko, from Arizona. The crisis that is building, I mean, it's difficult to deny that there is a crisis on the border. Will this drive Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats to a point of at least negotiating some type of solution with the president?
You know, I would love to say yes, but I don't think so. I think Nancy Pelosi is driven by politics and politics only. And for the San Francisco crazy base that wants open borders, for the Ocasio-Cortezes, for the Omars, for the open border crowds that don't believe that you should have to do anything to become an American citizen. I think it's all politics, and they don't care about reality. That's why I thought what Trump did that got the media so riled up when he said, fine, if you want open borders, we're going to send these illegal immigrants to your city. I think that's why that kind of struck a nerve with the far left media. But no, I think for Pelosi, it's all politics.
Well, I hope the crisis does not get any worse, but I'm afraid that it will. Duncan Hunter, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Congressman Duncan Hunter of San Diego, California, down in Arizona on the border. Now, joining us now from Arizona, another member of Congress, one of Duncan's colleagues, Debbie Lesko, who represents the 8th Congressional District of Arizona. Debbie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I know you're traveling in the state there today, but I want to get your take on this. We were talking about Yuma's mayor declaring a state of emergency there in that city. Mayor Nichols said his hope was that other cities would do the same. Now, Arizona long been really a focal point of the illegal immigration. Do you see this crisis spreading in Arizona?
Well, yeah, there is a crisis, and I hope some of my Democratic colleagues who still refuse to believe there's a crisis at the border wake up and see that this city, Yuma, Arizona, and I hope other cities are going to join, because we need the public to encourage my Democratic colleagues to join with Republicans and try to get something done. I mean, ultimately, we need to change our loose immigration laws. And I'm already working with attorneys, legislative counsel in Congress to come up with separate immigration bills and see if some of my Democratic colleagues will join me. But basically, it's going to take pressure from their constituency, their base, maybe not their base, but their constituencies to join us Republicans to get something done. This is a crisis. President Trump has done whatever he can do legally, and the courts have stopped him in many instances. And now it's time for Congress to step up and do their job and protect the nation and get this done.
What's that issue there in Yuma, Arizona, in particular, that Mayor Douglas Nichols has brought to the forefront? Is that the Border Patrol arresting these people because of the catch and release, which is mandated essentially by the courts? They release these individuals into the community. This is a city of about 100,000 people. They have one facility that can hold about 150 people, but they say they're overwhelmed. They're now roaming the streets looking to satisfy basic human needs, clashing with citizens looking to protect their own property. I mean, if something doesn't happen, I can only see that this is going to become a major problem when you have further clashes between citizens who are being overrun by those looking for food, shelter, and other things.
Yeah, well, I totally agree with you. And that's why I've been very supportive of a multifaceted approach on our immigration. We do need to build a fence in areas that don't have a suitable fence now. I was down in Coolidge, Arizona yesterday, where a large company is building prototypes of fences that they're trying to convince our Army Corps of Engineers of doing a contract, because they showed us right in front of our eyes how they can build it fast. They say they can build a bollard-style fence 1 mile a day. They can do it for $3.25 billion for the full 200-plus miles of fence that President Trump wants, and they have a bond to guarantee it. So I wish that he would look at companies or companies similar to that, private companies that say they can do this, get it done fast, because we need to divert people, these migrants, to areas that we can better control them. But then we also need to change the laws. I mean, that's all there is to it. These asylum laws are an incentive. And the right. cartels know we have loose asylum laws, and they're basically, you know, telling these migrants, hey, come while the going is good before they change the laws. And by the way, we're going to charge you $6,000 a person. The cartels could care less about these people. All they see them is money. And they make $6,000 a pop off of these people. The women are being raped. Some girls are being raped. This is a major crisis, and Congress needs to get their act together and change the laws so we can stop it.
Debbie, we're almost out of time, but you mentioned the money, obviously, that the coyotes are charging the people that they're bringing over, but also these towns like Yuma. How are they paying for the increased cost for security, for housing, for caring for this influx of people into their community?
Well, that's the problem, is they don't have the resources to pay for it. And so the mayor called an emergency. My staff has texted the governor's office staff to find out what that means, if the state of Arizona is going to help provide money or not. We don't know at this point, but we're checking with our governor's office. As the mayor said in his words, that our Governor Ducey is supportive of him declaring an emergency. So I hope my Democratic colleagues wake up and see it is an emergency, as everyone is saying.
All right. Debbie, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for taking time out to call in today. Debbie Lesko.
Thank you.
Represents the 8th Congressional District of Arizona. Also a very strong pro-life member of Congress. Really good member of Congress. All right. When we come back, Southern Poverty Law Center. How long will the media continue to use them? Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media joins me next.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you happen to be on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right, here's a big question. Will the media, CNN, MSNBC, and the big tech companies, you know, Google, Apple, will they continue to align themselves with the Southern Poverty Law Center, given the recent revelations of the blatant hypocrisy by this organization that itself was rife with bigotry and racism? Well, that's a question that was put to these entities today in the Wall Street Journal in an ad that was taken out, actually, by the Family Research Council and American Family Association. Joining me now to help answer this question, what might be around the corner for SPLC, is Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media. He's been on the SPLC beat for quite some time. Tyler, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Tony.
Well, you saw the, in fact, you've written about the advertisement to the question that was put to these media entities and big tech companies, whether or not they would continue to align themselves with the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've already seen some pulling away. Do you think that others may follow?
Yeah, it's hard to say. The very interesting thing is that both Facebook and Twitter have distanced themselves from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Facebook told me specifically that they agree with you and I, that Family Research Council and Alliance Defending Freedom and social conservative groups like that are not hate groups. So that's good, at least. I mean, it's still surprising that anybody considers you to be a hate group, but there's some progress. But the funny thing is, I don't think Amazon or YouTube are likely to pull back on this. And I'm very glad that you guys sent the ad targeting Spotify and MSNBC and CNN and PayPal. These are all very good targets, but I don't think that MSNBC and CNN are going to back down, even though CNN has finally covered the racism scandal.
Well, Tyler, I think the challenge here is for these entities, and this is what they're going to have to fess up to, is that the SPLC, I mean, everybody has known that they had a, I mean, they're in the political fight. They were not some kind of independent arbiter that just stood on the side with no dog in the political fight. They were in the fight. But now it's gone further to show their hypocrisy, where they were an organization filled with racism and bigotry, and they're calling out others. Many of these companies kind of knew that. I mean, this is not new in terms of SPLC. I mean, it's been out there for quite some time. It's just never been to this level of exposure. But I think many of these companies have stood behind SPLC and kind of used them as, firewall between being seen as anti-conservative, anti-Christian. But now they're going to have to own up. If they're going to use this label, if they're going to use this, they're going to have to own it as their own and not the SPLC's.
Yeah, well, the SPLC has been very convenient because it gives a veneer of respectability to the absolutely absurd suggestions that conservatives, just by holding conservative views, especially on marriage and sexuality issues, are therefore akin to the Ku Klux Klan. And the SPLC had, make no bones about it. They know that they're issuing a reputational death sentence. And these companies and these media outlets are very all too glad to follow up on that because they're pushing this agenda, this sexual revolution, and they can't stomach, they have to demonize any dissent. And so if the SPLC actually folds and if these organizations finally wise up and no longer take the SPLC seriously, there probably is going to be another group that fills that vacuum. Because we've seen, up in Canada, there's already an organization starting to form targeting quote-unquote hate groups up there. And I think this rush to demonize dissent is something that the SPLC is perfect at. But if they, if we're finally successful in convincing people not to trust them, then there's going to be another group that fills that void.
I don't dispute that at all, but it's going to be more difficult. I think what the SPLC was doing in many ways was they were leveraging their history as an organization that supposedly started to attack racism, and they did to some degree, but they've always been a money-making machine, a cash-for-hate machine is what they've become now. But it'll be harder for another organization to fill in with the reputation that the Southern Poverty Law Center had enjoyed for the people who didn't know what was behind the curtain.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And hopefully we'll see, as they fall away, it will be more difficult for somebody to take up that mantle. There will be attempts made, but ultimately they won't be able to succeed in the same way that the SPLC has. So maybe that's one of the reasons why people are so hesitant to drop them. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, they're probably hoping that the results of this audit are going to be good for the SPLC, that the organization will seem to turn around and put the racism and sexism behind it.
Well, Tyler, having tracked them for so long, that they're sitting on a ton of money, $500 million. And so it's pretty easy to resurrect yourself if you've got enough cash. They've got it. Someone else may come in to try to get that cash, but this is not the end of the SPLC from that standpoint. I mean, they've got a lot to work with.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's why it's very important for us to have these, for you guys to have the ad out in the Wall Street Journal for these 67 nonprofit leaders to bind together and say, look, we can't rely on this. And for the lawsuits that are, mulling up, there's going to be one by this summer from Liberty Counsel, almost certainly. And we know that Act for America is gearing up to do some legal attacks on them. I think they're very vulnerable to defamation. And you know better than anyone else what kind of damage they've done.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're absolutely right. I would say stand by. I think you're going to see a lot of lawsuits now that the curtain has been pulled back. Tyler O'Neill, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tony.
All right, Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media. Coming up next, we go to North Carolina, where the assembly there has stepped in where Nancy Pelosi wouldn't go, protecting born-alive infants. That's next. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influences weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Hey, and let me remind you, folks, before I jump to the next topic, if you're interested in maybe seeing Alaska for the first time, let me invite you to join us this summer as we take an Alaskan cruise. My wife and I, along with several team members from FRC, General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, Ambassador Ken Blackwell. To find out more, how you can join us July the 7th through the 14th. It's an amazing trip. Let me just tell you, it's an amazing trip. Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can find out more there at the website. Okay, yesterday, the North Carolina Senate passed a measure, well, actually on Monday, protecting the life of infants who were born after a botched abortion. Now, the bill passed the Senate by a margin of 28 to 19 votes before it was sent over to the House for consideration. Then yesterday, in the House of Representatives, in the Assembly there, the North Carolina Assembly, they approved the legislation banning infanticide by a vote of 65-46, bipartisan, I should say. The measure has now been sent to Governor Roy Cooper, a Democrat. The question is, will he sign it? Now, we're going to be joined in just a moment from State Senator Joyce Krovic. But first, I want to show you how this issue really has kind of taken off. And it was really ignited by Governor Cuomo in New York, then Governor Northam in Virginia and his comments, but then the Democrats refusing to allow a vote to protect unborn children. Now, this came up in the town hall meeting that Fox did with Bernie Sanders. I want you to hear this clip, and then I'm going to play a clip from Kellyanne Conway, counselor of the president, friend of mine, who responded to that. Here's Bernie Sanders.
I don't know if you were moderating it. Well, I don't know if it was you or CBS, I can't remember. And somebody asked me, they said, what is the major national security issue facing this country? You know what I said? I said climate change. And people laughed. Wasn't that funny? Well, people are not laughing now because they have read the scientific reports and they know that if we don't get our act together in the next 12 years or so, there's going to be irreparable damage. So let me lay it out on the line. We are going to have to not only take on Trump and his deniers, but this to me is an existential crisis.
I think we've got the wrong clip. That's not the clip of what he had to say. And let me just tell you what he said. What he said was that he believes, first off, he says it doesn't happen. It's rare. Rarely does it happen. Well, that's not true. Then he went on to say, oh, it's a choice between, or it's a decision between a mother and her doctor. Well, we're not talking about a baby in the womb. This is not about abortion, right? This is about infanticide. This is about a baby who has been born. And Kellyanne Conway really kind of dissected the argument on the McCallum show. Let me play that clip of Kellyanne on Martha's show.
You heard the crowd there, too. They don't even like when the question is raised because they know it's a losing issue for them. The legislation that the Democrats voted against recently, again and again, is called the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protections Act. Let's quickly break that down. Born Alive, everybody knows what that means. Abortion Survivor Protection Act. For all the gobbledygook and gibberish that comes out of Capitol Hill that we can't understand what the bill is about, this one's pretty straightforward. You survive an abortion, you're born alive, the government should be protecting you, should be giving just reasonable standard of care that we would give to any infant that's alive or any individual that's alive. The Democrats, including Bernie Sanders, vote against that. So that is unconscionable to many Americans. And we will continue to fight for reasonable restrictions and regulations.
We're about, I think, approaching about 29 states that have provisions like this, Born Alive Infant, Born Alive Survivor, Abortion Survivor Protection Acts, to varying degrees. Now, the reason the federal legislation is needed is because then it makes it uniform across the country. That we will not be a nation that tolerates the killing of babies who have been born. Now, look, abortion is horrific, and we are working to see that stopped in this country. 60 million babies is enough. And I think we're going to get there. I really do. But we're talking about something even more extreme. We're talking about killing babies that have been born. We have to draw the line here. That's why we're pushing, both at the state level. In fact, we've seen over 250 pro-life bills just this year. I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow, but I want to encourage you to help us end birthday abortions. We are working with our friends on Capitol Hill to force Nancy Pelosi to allow a vote on this on the House floor, to the discharge petition. We're roughly at about 200 signatures. We need 18 more to get it onto the House floor. We want to deliver 90,000 of these baby hats to send a very visible message to Nancy Pelosi. You can join us. We're halfway there, almost halfway there. It has got about 45,000 more to go. Find out how you can be a part of it. Go to TonyPerkins.com. It's right there at the top of the page. Or go to EndBirthdayAbortion.com. All right, don't go away. We still got more Washington Watch to come. And we're going to be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. More, much more, much, much more Washington Watch to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. All right, I have that clip of Bernie Sanders at his town hall meeting hosted by Fox News. Here it is.
With regard to abortion, do you believe that a woman should be able to terminate a pregnancy up until the moment of birth?
Look, I think that that happens very, very rarely, and I think this is being made into a political issue. Okay? So I think it's rare, it's being made into a political issue, but at the end of the day, I believe that the decision over abortion belongs to a woman and a physician, not the federal government, not the state government, and not the local government.
Notice the crowd booing when the question was asked. Now, this was not, even though it was Fox News hosting, it was not a necessarily a conservative crowd there. They don't want this issue asked because, number one, they know that these, these progressives on the left, these democratic socialists, as they prefer to be called, they're out of sync with the American people. Now, let me just say, he says that this is very, very rare, doesn't happen. Well, not true. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, says that there were about 143 cases of babies born alive between 2002-2014. Now, that is based only on the reports from six states. Most states don't report on it. In fact, I mean, we know the Kermit Gosnells that kill these babies. That's what they specialized in. That's why he's in prison now. It happens. But does it matter? Does the number matter? Would it matter if it were 10? Would it matter if it were 100? Would it matter if it were 1,000? What if it were 10,000? Would it matter? The issue is we're talking about human life. And every life matters. And this goes back to something we were discussing earlier in the week, that what gives life its value is not what zip code it's conceived in, or what economic status that child is born into or may even obtain. The fact of the matter is that that child is worthy to be welcomed into our world and protected by our laws because it is created in the image of God. And we've lost that. And that's what, I mean, if you go back to, you know, the whole spread of evolution, denying the fact that there is a creator, many evils have come from that. And it has allowed for many things to happen as a result. But I think what I'm seeing is unprecedented in terms of the American people pushing back through their elected representatives. And we see, you know, the conscience of America stirred by Governor Cuomo, Governor Northam, Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, and really all of the Democratic candidates who remain in lockstep on this issue, where only about 13% of Americans actually agree with this radical position. And so you see more and more states now stepping forward and saying, no, we can't allow this to happen. North Carolina being the latest example of this. And what took place there, as I mentioned, it passed in the Senate on Monday. Yesterday, the House, Senate passed it 65-46 bipartisan vote. It now goes to Governor Roy Cooper, a Democrat. And we'll see what happens. Well, joining us now to talk about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act in the state of North Carolina is State Senator Joyce Krawczyk, and she was key in getting this bill through. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Nice to be with you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I have to believe that you're elated that you've seen this bill move all the way through the assembly there and now on its way to the actually the governor now has it. Do you think the governor will sign it?
That's the question we're all asking. We have no idea what the governor will do. If I had to guess, I would say no, he will not. But, you know, I don't know. I pray that he will, but my guess is that he will not.
Well, I'm certain that we have a lot of listeners in North Carolina, and you would invite them to weigh in, I would believe, at this moment with the governor to encourage him to do the right thing.
Absolutely. I would love for your listeners to contact the governor's office and let him know that this is important to them. And, you know, of course, the governor has 10 days. He can sign it. He can veto it, or he can do nothing. And if he does nothing, it becomes law in 10 days. So I would say he will do that quicker than he will sign it, I think. I just can't imagine him signing it because we did have a bipartisan support, but it was very shallow. On the Senate side, we had two Democrats who voted with us. And on the House side, I think they had four, maybe. So it was close to party line vote, but I was so happy that we did have some bipartisan support and went through several committees on our side as well as the House side. There was a lot of debate, and it was surprising. I really didn't think. I thought this was, this was a no-brainer to me. This is something that, you know, we can all get behind. We can all rally around protecting a baby that has survived an abortion. I was just surprised at the number of people who disagreed with it. And I tried to make it very clear. This changes nothing in Roe v. Wade. This changes nothing in North Carolina abortion law. This just says if that baby survives an abortion, that it will be given the medical care that any other baby born in that condition at that gestational age would receive. And I was just surprised at the backlash that came from supporting that bill.
Well, Senator, I mean, obviously, it is surprising that someone would be so calloused as to say, I don't care if a baby's born alive, let it die. I mean, that's essentially what's being said by those who oppose this.
That's right.
But let me ask you this. Anything that surprised you from an encouraging standpoint as you helped shepherd this bill through the process?
Oh, yeah. Our friends on the pro-life side were here for every committee meeting. They were here for all of the floor debates. They were behind us 100%. And ours was Monday night with our debate on the floor. The committee meetings were last week, but they were here for all of that. And it was wonderful. We knew that they had been praying for us, and we knew that they were here supporting us. And it was just wonderful to have that much support.
Now, Senator, if this bill, if the governor were to sign it, and by the way, folks, if you live in North Carolina, let me give you, I'm going to get something to write with because I'm going to give you Governor Cooper's phone number in just a moment. Senator Kravick, if it does go into effect, and we pray that it does, who will have the enforcement provisions of this? How do we know that this will be enforced?
Well, they have a lot of reporting requirements. We have a lot of penalties in the bill. All healthcare providers, all healthcare workers are obligated to report if they see anything that's similar to being ignored, and there will be reports. And we had passed a pretty serious bill called the Woman's Right to Know a couple of years ago, and I was also the primary on that bill. And we put some really strict requirements in that bill for all of the abortionists, for all of the clinics. In the past, we had a cutoff time of 20 weeks. No abortions could be performed after 20 weeks gestation. Well, we had a court ruling here just recently, within the last few weeks, giving us 60 days to respond to that, but more or less saying we cannot say that 20 weeks is the time that you can no longer have an abortion. So, you know, we don't know how many babies that we have had in North Carolina that have survived abortion, but we had a cutoff of 20 weeks. But now that that may be in jeopardy, we don't know. We may have many live births if they keep moving that age up. So, you know, I'm just happy that we got this part done, but we did require, because we know that in the past, even though we had a 20-week limit, we know that abortions were being performed after that time from some of our folks that had left the clinic work from working in the abortion clinics. And so we started requiring that they perform an ultrasound before the abortion is done so we can tell how many weeks it is. Can't lie about it anymore. And so we think that helped a lot. But now that that 20-week ban may be in jeopardy, that worries me considerably. And we are preparing a response for that as well.
Folks, the number to call, Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina, if you are a resident of North Carolina, that number is 919-814-2000. It's 919-814-2000. 2000. I'll also put it up at TonyPerkins.com, but that's 919-814-2000 to call and weigh in with the governor on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which passed the assembly there and is on the governor's desk to be signed into law. Senator, when you look at how all of this is happening across the nation, I mean, The energy that I think Governor Cuomo created by going so far as to embrace infanticide has really sparked something, has it not?
I think it has, yes. I agree. I think it has. And we had a bill filed in North Carolina last session basically doing the same thing that the New York bill did and the Virginia bill that almost passed. Lifting the 20-week ban on abortions, allowing no deadlines, allowing them all the way up until birth. And, of course, it didn't move. It was filed by the Democrats, and so we never moved the bill. But it's very concerning. It's very concerning. But I'm glad that this exposure came so that people really see what's happening now, that you are promoting abortion up until birth, during labor, and then after birth, you're promoting letting an innocent, vulnerable, living, breathing, heart beating little tiny human being be ignored and just lay and die. after surviving an abortion. And it just blows me away. I find it just incredible and unbelievable.
It is. And it's not a country. That's not the kind of country we want to live in. And
we
have to draw the
absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely.
Senator Kravick, thank you
right.
so much for joining us today. And thank you for your leadership and congratulations.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. And thank your listeners for calling the governor's office. Well, I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. We'll continue to talk.
Thank you.
This. All right, folks. Senator Joyce Kravick of North Carolina. All right, the number again for Roy Cooper, governor of North Carolina, 919-814-2000. 919-814-2000. Good opportunity for you to weigh in with the governor. And I think, look, this is one of the areas, and I did an interview, I think, with the Washington Times. There have been several on this, but the media is picking up on this. They're seeing the clear contrast between the two parties. There are several areas where you're seeing very, very clear contrast between the parties. This is probably, thanks to Governor Cuomo, probably the clearest. But it's not surprising to some of us, because when you look at the party platforms, they've actually stated this. The Democrats actually stated this in their party platforms. They want taxpayers to pay for all abortions. They do not want restrictions. They want money, taxpayer money, to go to Planned Parenthood. They've become very radical in their pro-abortion policies. It's stated in their party platform, so we shouldn't be surprised. Republicans, on the other hand, have been moving more and more toward a true pro-life position. And the contrast is sharp. Contrast is sharp on religious freedom. Contrast is sharp on human sexuality, marriage, all of these key issues. I'm not sure there's ever been a clearer contrast between the two parties than what we see today. Anyway, give Roy Cooper, Governor Roy Cooper, a phone call, 919-814-2000. Help out the pro-life leaders there in North Carolina. All right, almost out of time, but very quickly, just wanted to, the question was brought up yesterday about the vaccinations in New York City, or in New York with the, I hadn't been tracking that very closely, but it relates to a measles outbreak. And they're not mandating people get vaccinated. They're just quarantining people. They're telling you, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go out in public places. Quite frankly, I think that is the government's authority. They have that authority to protect public safety. So while they can't, I'm not for them mandating vaccines. I do think they have a right to restrict the public in certain places at certain times for public health. And I think this is one of them. Anyway, we may return to that later. But for now, we're out of time. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.